The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all.
Good evening. We must take America back. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the National Intel Report. I am your guest host this Thursday, May 17th, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network, obviously, sitting in for John Stadmiller today. I am Chris Hinckley, regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And so we'll talk Intel, the National Intel Report. You know, I really wanted to kind of go back to yesterday's broadcast. Yesterday, I thought it was particularly fantastic. There are a few things maybe I can add, especially with the particular subject matter in view that's kind of obviously been in view all week with the official recognition of Jerusalem as, you know, the location for the U.S. embassy there, all of that nonsense, and the, you know, the 70-year anniversary on Monday, May 14th, you know, 70 years after the British mandate expired and British Zionist Israel, which is not the biblical Israel by any stretch of the imagination, decided all by itself, and of course, America, the United States in particular, and there is a distinction, was used in very surreptitious fashion and continues to be used to sort of legitimize something that is that lives on in infamous illegitimacy. We'll probably play a clip from Alison Weir's talk back in August of 2014. Actually, she it was recorded July 30th of 2014 over in Seattle, Washington. Alison Weir is the she is the impetus behind the website If Americans Knew and the YouTube channel If Americans Knew. And so her talk back in 2014, you can find on Talking Stick TV. That's the big one. That's it's only been viewed almost 120,000 times. But Talking Stick TV, Alison Weir, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. I went through a lot of this information, and I'll just say this before we get rolling. I went through a lot of this the information on Monday. And some of the things that I will address you know, the question really hasn't been, I think, properly answered or the issue addressed. How do we benefit from all of this? There were some questions, you know, Roxanne in Texas, Kevin's observation later in yesterday's hour two of the National Intel Report broadcast. I appreciated Kevin's observation, his provocative question, why now? Because any one of the last several administrations could have done the same thing. Why now? Was it just because of the 70-year anniversary? Why not 60? Why not 50? So, because, you know, well, we'll get into that more. I'm not gonna start there. The Zionist Love Fest, what does that mean? And how does that dovetail with the comments, particularly yesterday? Pike's letter, how is that important? Alison Weir. And, you know, it was mentioned yesterday, among other times, obviously, you know, sniper shooting people. I think Roxanne was one of the people that mentioned, and maybe Steve Elkins. I don't remember exactly who, but I'm pretty sure Roxanne did. Anyway, the point is raised from time to time, sniper shooting people in the knee or non-lethal injuries. Amputation is a reason that's cited, but why specifically? Why non-lethal? Alison Weir answers that question for us. We'll get into that later. So, but you know, again, kind of the overarching question for me is, how do we benefit? How do you benefit? Because remember, and again, this is something that I'll touch on later, but when it comes to the subject of so-called Israel, British Zionist Israel, you know, we've forked out, according to the CRS report, RL33222, dated April 10, 2018. It's titled U.S. Foreign Aid to Israel. To date, this is a quote, to date, the United States has provided Israel $134.7 billion, current or non-inflation adjusted dollars, in bilateral assistance. Bilateral? That's an interesting word. Seems unilateral to me. What do we get? I ask rhetorically. In bilateral assistance and missile defense funding, remember, this British Zionist Israel contrivance is not subject to the typical non-proliferation treaties and agreements. So that's always an interesting sort of subpoint. Even according to the Jewish Virtual Library, jewishvirtuallibrary.org, from 1949 to present, their page, total U.S. foreign aid to Israel, $129.8 billion. How do we benefit? What do we get? $130 billion. How do you benefit? How do I benefit from that sucking sound? This one in particular, this giant sucking sound that's running about $3 billion a year right now. So we'll talk more about that. But yesterday, I thought was a fantastic National Intel report. And I, you know, if you haven't listened, I would encourage folks to listen. And I was just saying something similar earlier today, and I've said it before on the Road Warrior radio broadcast. There are unsung heroes in our midst. And yesterday they were sort of recognized. And I don't think people really understand what it takes to maintain an operation like this. It's interesting, you know, the folks that are running things from behind the scenes, sometimes you get a glimpse into it as a broadcaster, and they are definitely the unsung heroes. Anyway, I want to play a little clip from yesterday's National Intel Report, hour two, just a little bit from the beginning of the broadcast. So here that is. Go ahead, please.
And Steve,
yeah.
It's kind of amazing the people that think that they're helping you. But they are really not. I'll give you an example. Over the years, we've had people that wanted to start their own networks. So their idea of starting their own network was not developing their own product and distributing it. they thought that if I pick this program and I pick up the stream live here and I cherry pick and I do this and I that, and I'm calling that a network. Well, okay, but understand that the people that are producing this, it's the one that's costing them the money. It doesn't cost you anything except a good internet connection. And if you're pretty good at putting a web page together, guess what? It's just a little bit of your labor. And you are taking the creative stuff that other people are doing that are having to grind it out every day. I was talking with Robert Ravel today, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, your Sunday night program on this network, I said, I don't think there's any other board op that could run your show. It is that involved. But the guy that I have, Ken, that runs the second shift on the weekends, he loves doing this. And he particularly likes doing Robert Raybould's program because it's so challenging. And I said, you know, I don't think any other board op in this place could hang with you, man. He said, and if that were the case, I'd have to change the format of my show. And I said, and that's the one thing that I don't want to do. But most people, they don't even recognize that you need good people, and you have to keep them. I don't know what I would do without Dan in the mornings or Mikey here at night and the guys on the weekends, Sam and Ken. You know,
no, I agree with you. I love these guys. They do a super job, and I normally work with Sam on my show on Sunday.
Right.
But I've worked with Dan and Ken. I've worked with them all, Mike. Yeah. Super guys. You've got a good team. You got to keep a good team. And I'm just happy working with these guys myself.
Well, and you aim for consistency, and that is the key to anything in life, and I don't care what you're tackling. But that's just a small part of it, just to keep the crew here, to continue operations day after day. Forget the technical problems. We got one right now that for some reason our archives decided they wanted to up and break. And we're feverishly, we've got two or three people working on this, looking at it, trying to find the problem. It'll be up for 5 hours, and then it'll be down. And then it'll be up, and then it'll be down. And we are fully aware of this, and we're working feverishly to correct the problem. But it's equipment, programs break, bills have to be paid, expenses, they don't stop. And people think, and here's the irony to this, Steve, that people think they can go out and do their own thing. Well, as I was referring to other people taking other people's programming, we're going to the expense of producing it. I mean, it's part of the network. You can break it down to hourly cost, and this is what it cost us. Forget the fact that archives remain property of the network. We've had people that left that said, wait a minute, no, that's my stuff. No, excuse me. No, it's not. It's property of the network. It is copyrighted at any rate. But that's not the deal. The illustrated point here is that people think that they're doing you a favor by doing this, and the only thing they're doing is zapping the numbers from the network. You know, the people that listen to the archives or the people that listen to the live streaming, it dilutes the power that we're able to build up. You build up, and then it deletes, and then you build up, and then it deletes. It's a process, and sometimes it's aggravating. And I'm not admonishing people. I just want them to understand that the people that are actually doing the work should be the ones that receive the reward. You know, and I don't think that's that. I don't think that that's being outlandish. I don't think that it's being narcissistic. I don't think it's even being selfish. It's just that we have managed to stay around for a decade since the greatest depression that ever hit this country hit. And through the good graces of people that know and understand what we're doing, that send in donations, or the people that have partook in the Front Sight offer, you know, program that's, in my estimation, for anybody that's a gun owner, they should have. And I did a little thing yesterday. I said I wasn't going to ever repeat this again, but I... Yeah, send your best and have them teach other people, okay? Send the people that are able to absorb and then be able to, in turn, impart that wisdom on other people. I know not everybody would love to go to Front Sight, you know, but and some people can't. But if you do, if you got a group, you're going to send somebody out, do that. Teach those that can, in turn, teach others. So, you know, we're all in this one together here. We're all in it together. And by God, I know one thing the other side has in mind, that we cease to exist.
No, I agree. We're dedicated to the goal, the same goal, truth-telling, open debate, talk about the issues, and I'm right there. I mean, this is a great network. Maybe I'm a little biased because I'm part of the network now and a host on the network, but I was sold on RBN back in, I think, 2014 when I first caught you guys and started listening to you. And I started listening, wow, I've heard stuff I've never heard before. I can't believe they're saying that, but that's pretty gutsy because that's the same thing I'm saying without having a voice, a mic. But and you're never going to hear. You're never going to hear this talk on mainstream media. You will never, ever hear people talking about these issues or pointing fingers of blame where they deserve to be pointed. And that's what I love about this network is that we're able to do that. And we have an open forum. We have call-in lines. People call. They get activated. Hopefully they share the information with other people. That's what this network, to me, is all about, sharing the information and talking about the issues and debating the issues. We're not always going to be right. We're accountable for what we talk about.
Yeah. Steve?
Yeah.
Make me a BLT. I'll be right down to heaven.
Hey, can I do one plug?
Yeah.
Real quick here. I've got a special guest coming on Sunday by the name of Karen Smith. Now, she's an expatriate from South Africa, now living around your area there.
That's good.
In Texas. Texas now.
We got Steve's plug, which is great. That's a little bit of the plug. If you want to hear the rest of it, you can listen in the archives. I don't mean to cut it off there, but so that's Steve Elkins. He's the host of Off the Beaten Path. You heard him plug the spot with Karen Smith. So that should be interesting on Sunday. I'll probably tune in for that too. Anyway, so that's good. We have unsung heroes. And by the way, as far as I am aware, the archive issue is fixed that you heard John mention there in that clip from hour two of yesterday's National Intel Report. Yesterday, Wednesday, May 16th, 2018, for those interested. And like I said, it was a fantastic broadcast. It's my understanding the archives are fixed. And if that is not the case, please let us know. If you're having some difficulty still, then let us know. And speaking of that, there's a little sort of technicality, I guess, to say. You might need to refresh your browser cache. If you're on a mobile device, you do the little pull screen thing to refresh the page, for example. But if you're on a desktop, like a laptop or a desktop or something like that, then you probably want to hit Control or Command Shift R. So Control Shift R on a Windows device, Command Shift R on an Apple device, so that you hard refresh the page. In other words, if you go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org and you see nothing, you see white screen of death, or you think it's just trying to load, even though you don't see the spinny thing in your browser tab. If you don't see anything, you might need to hit Control Shift R or Command Shift R on your Windows or Apple device, respectively. That makes sense. So hopefully that helps some folks. Anyway, the archive should be fixed. It's my understanding they are. And so hopefully that's helpful information. And the theme is restored too, although some preferred the default theme that was up there in lieu of the more RBN-styled, more patriotic sort of, red, gray, and blue theme that has been there for some time. Anyway, hopefully that's helpful information. And again, if you're experiencing something else, please let us know. So I want to get back into how we benefit. And that'll be sort of the punchline of where I'm going with this. But again, Allison Weir reminded us, why are snipers, Israeli snipers, targeting kneecaps and eyes? Well, you'll hear when we come back. Stick around.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So, after yesterday's National Intel Report, Wednesday, May 16th, 2018, this is sort of a carry-on from where Hour 2 left off as far as the subject of, well, you know, what I would call political Zionism versus political Islam. And that's sort of the bigger issue. And I need to really step back and frame what's going on in that context, I think, because people don't understand. If you believe Pike's letter to Mazzini, the allegedly spurious or apocryphal letter, so-called, that's been around for almost 100 years. It's my understanding Cardinal Rodriguez first acknowledged it almost 100 years ago, certainly before the Second World War. And so it's interesting that the Second World War even happened after the Great War. I don't know what was so great about it. But now we have what looks like the Third World War, the Long War, shaping up in precisely the fashion that Albert Pike outlined in the most prophetic letter never written. So to me, that really is the context that I view these events, all of this upheaval and the social upheaval, with regard to the issue of what I would call the collision or the clash between political Zionism and political Islam. Political Zionism, in this case, particularly in view with the embassy move, the 70-year anniversary of what never should have happened, May 14, 1948, you know, all of that kind of nonsense. So the point that I'm making, I mean, just to from the letter, Pike allegedly wrote, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world." I would call that political Islam. And it's interesting, don't you think, it's interesting that it wasn't until we got into the 20th century that we ended up with, you know, through Philby of Arabia and Lawrence of Arabia, you know, British Saudi Arabia, essentially, and the institutionalizing of Wahhabism and Salafism and Deobandism as the social virus that they are now, spreading social upheaval around the world like they have effectively balkanized the Ottoman Empire and turned it upside down. So we got Saudi Arabia, British, you know, political, Islamic, Wahhabi, Salafi, Deobandi, Saudi Arabia, Wahhabism, and they say Salafism is Wahhabism on tour, and then you have the satellite cousin, so to speak, of Wahhabism and Deobandism. And it's all that radical, fundamentalist, puritanical nonsense that targets even fellow Muslims as heretics and infidels, essentially. So when you hear Sharia law, you shouldn't think Sharia. You should think Wahhabi. And Saudi Arabia is the headwaters because of that unholy alliance between Ibn Abd al-Wahhab and the House of Saud back in the 1740s. But that's a different discussion for a different time. So we got Saudi Arabia as a result of British intrigue, really, at the turn of the 20th century, and then by the mid-20th century. And the same deals were being made before the 20th century for this so-called Israel, British Zionist Israel. One of the best examples, and I talked about this on Monday's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, is a thing called the Jewish Ottoman Land Company. And there's an article that folks can research for themselves. It's very short, 17 pages long, by Walid Khalidi, back in 1993, titled "The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's Blueprint for the Colonization of Palestine." And in it, Khalidi tells the whole story, but he says some 60 years ago, he writes, Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism, published the full text of a remarkable document from Herzl's archives in Vienna. Remember Theodor Herzl, the godfather of Zionism? You know, first Zionist Congress, 1897, second, 1898, all of that, World Zionist Organization, all of that stuff. So from Herzl's archives, Adolf Baum published the full text of a remarkable document. This is the draft of a proposed agreement, a charter, between the World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company for the settlement of Palestine and Syria. Sounds kind of like the forerunner of the Oded Yanan plan, doesn't it? We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is. Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the guru and the trailer and the full course press. We got the software, hard drive, CD.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. So, speaking of, there's Saudi Arabia. It's all the same deal, though. It was all brokered by the same guys. You know? You have the same intriguers and insiders. You look at the history of Wahhabism, for example, and how British intelligence identified it almost immediately back in the mid-18th century as a very effective weapon to balkanize societies, particularly in the Middle East, and it's been used. That's where the term balkanization comes from, and the upending of the Ottoman Empire in particular, that has been a work in progress for over 200 years. And you fold into all of that the Greater Israel Project, the Greater Middle East Project, what Zbigniew Brzezinski referred to as the Global Balkans. But you go back and look at these characters, you have Philby, for example. You have T.E. Lawrence, St. John Philby, T.E. Lawrence, and, a half dozen or dozen other intriguers operating behind the scenes in the creation of the Saudi state. And then you have the same forces working to create the so-called, you know, British Zionist Israel. Again, you know, you can go back through the British Mandate, the Balfour Declaration, the Sykes-Picot Agreement. But like I said, I like to go back to the Jewish Ottoman Land Company. And again, Waleed Khalidi's article, The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's Blueprint for the Colonization of Palestine. So Adolf Baum published the full text of Theodor Herzl's draft of a proposed agreement between the World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government concerning the privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company. The Jewish Ottoman Land Company. That sort of says it all, doesn't it? I mean, that's really sort of a nexus point, literally and figuratively, which sort of, you know, underscores the whole point. It's the same forces. And I'll get to more on this in a second. There are so many provocative ironies and coincidences that aren't coincidences. So anyway, continuing with Waleed Khalidi's article, this was back in 1993, and he wrote some 60 years ago, Adolf Baum published the full text. So that was 1933. This is going back a while. And so we keep sort of losing this. You know, it needs to be resurfaced on a regular basis and stop being memory hold. It's interesting, too, by the way, that, you know, ISIS gets people stirred up about the Sykes-Picot Agreement. Why is that? Americans are like, what's that? And what's even more interesting is the backroom deals that were being conducted by folks like Edward Gray and Edward Mandel House with regard to the Sykes-Picot Agreement, really before World War I even started, which seems to be smoking gun evidence of the conjecture, if you want to call it that, of folks like me, that the, well, both of the so-called world wars were contrived, to say the least. Smoking gun evidence. These guys are making backroom deals before the first shot is fired. And then the shots fired are a pretext to, you know, the victors, to the victors go the spoils. You know, the old African proverb, when elephants fight, the grass suffers. There's a bunch of, there's a tussle, there's a skirmish, and oh my goodness, and then all of a sudden they're stealing of land and natural resources and things. And of course, you know, not to get too far off track, but that's all been legitimized and corporatized from the through, coming through the 20th century and beyond, you know, which is why I went through a series on Road Warrior Radio that I termed the death cult ideology, basically, several weeks, because everywhere you look, you see the moniker, the emblem of the Ivy League pirates. You know, it's the Jolly Roger, the skull and bones. And you see it all over the place, death. So, and, you know, that, I don't know, for, you know, not again, not to get too far off track, but that sort of calls to mind, you know, passages like Revelation 6:8. It's one revelation. The plural Revelations is a different book by Albert Pike, completely different deal. Revelation 6:8, the pale horse. And he who sat on it, his name was Death. Hell followed after him. And, you know, Pale Horse, Bill Cooper too, maybe, comes to mind, if we're free associating. Anyway, so Waleed Khalidi tells us that Adolf Baum published Herzl's Archives, the draft of a proposed agreement between the World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government. This was before this was even a thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government. And then they use these weapons like Wahhabism to destabilize the region, turn it upside down, and remake it under our control, as Wes Clark said in his foreign policy speech. We played that clip this morning on Road Warrior Radio. Anyway, 10 years ago now, this is what they do. Get people stirred up and believing that it was all their idea all along in Rand Corporation game theory fashion. Now it's through a very scientific process of things like color revolution and so forth. Anyway, Waleed Khalidi says that he writes that Adolf Baum published the full text from Herzl's archives of the draft of a proposed agreement between the World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company for the settlement of Palestine and Syria. Again, it sounds like the forerunner of the Oded Yanan plan, which was just a sort of reinvigoration or re-envisioning of this deal. The deal brokered, Jewish Ottoman Land Company. The document, Khalidi wrote, does not bear a date, but seems to have been drawn up sometime between the summer of 1901 and early 1902. Its authors seem to have been principally Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, and Arminius Vámbéry, a Hungarian Orientalist of Jewish descent. Vámbéry was not only close to Herzl, refers to the latter in his diaries as my little uncle, but also to Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. So it's a total backroom deal that's recorded. And so basically they had the the Zionist congresses that were convened in 1897 and on. And by 1901, basically they have the deal struck and the draft of the proposed agreement from Herzl's archives in Vienna is published in 1933 by Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism. This is not conspiracy. Well, actually, it is conspiracy. It's not theory, is what I mean. You know, who was it? It was, what's his name? I think it was Gore Vidal, wasn't it? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. We're analyzing the conspiracy because it was a conspiracy. Here are folks making secret backroom deals that affect millions of people. None of them are even aware a deal's been struck. And then you have the other formalizations, like I said, like the precursor by Edward Gray and folks like Edward Mandelhaus of the Sykes-Picot Agreement that was made before, you know, it was penned, obviously, a couple of years, I think. I think it was James Perloff who mentioned that. About 2 years before the Sykes-Picot Agreement was actually penned, it was already done. Kind of like the Jewish Ottoman Land Company. So here's evidence. Now, the point is this. The backdrop of this information, in my humble opinion, should be when you see, and you see it every day in the headlines, you see the clash of what I would refer to as political Zionism versus political Islam. You know, and well, I won't get into that. But you see this clash, and they're the most notable forces, obviously, or most recognized names are the so-called Israel and so-called Saudi Arabia, both British contrivances. And they are they're weaponized for very specific reasons. Everyone plays their part in this circus we call theater in the world today. It's no small coincidence or observation that even the evil United Nations Human Rights Council, I'm not a fan, but even as I always mention when this comes up, even the United, you go to the Wikipedia entry for United Nations Human Rights Council and click on specific issues. 2.1 is Israel. 2.7 is Saudi Arabia. Specific issues concerning Israel. As of 2018, Israel has been condemned in 78 resolutions by the council since its creation in 2006. The council has resolved more resolutions condemning Israel than the rest of the world combined. The United Nations so-called Human Rights Council considers Israel the worst human rights violator on the planet, beyond all others combined. People, you know, propagandists will say, "Oh, Chris, you're one of those anti-Semites." No, I love the Semites. And they were the Old Testament chosen people. No doubt about it. Paul clarifies what that all looks like in Romans, particularly chapter 2 and chapter 9, for those who get it twisted or have someone trying to twist it for them, if you know what I mean. Romans 2 and Romans 9 in the New Testament. We're all saved by grace through faith. You know, not that we weren't in the Old Testament either, but they were the keepers of the oracles of God, the chosen people, to be the keepers of the oracles of God. But those are the Semites, the descendants of Shem, one of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Ashkenaz is a Japhethite, not a Shemite. Genesis chapter 10 clarifies that for us. So no, I'm not an anti-Semite, but I'm not a fan of Zionists either. So Israel has been condemned by the UN Human Rights Council in 78 resolutions since the council's creation in 2006. That's only 12 years. More condemnations than the rest of the world combined. By April 2007, the council, UN Human Rights Council, had passed 11 resolutions condemning Israel, the only country which it had specifically condemned. And it's the only council specific rapporteur, you know, that you go on and you read, basically it's the only, the council voted on June 30th, 2006 to make a review of alleged human rights abuses by Israel a permanent feature of every council session. This is shocking. And what's worse, this is one of our two greatest allies in the region, Saudi Arabia being the other one. I'll get to that in a minute. And they train our law enforcement and military. Gerrita Coleman has two terms that stick in my mind. The Wahhabization of the West now. Brilliant. Go investigate. And the Gazification of the world. Brilliant term. Go investigate. And so treating people like dogs is probably not something we need our military and our law enforcement emulating. If you follow me. Worse than dogs, actually, because the Israelis treat dogs far better than Palestinians, for example, as we've seen this week. Again, I'm not anti-Semitic. I love the Semitic people, Shem and his descendants, but Ashkenaz was a Japhethite, not a Shemite. And these people are the real, you know, they're a part of the problem. I'll just leave it at that. So these forces are colliding. So the point of all of that is to say that should be the backdrop of when we see all this information. It's designed to get us all upset. Christians are supposed to be drawn into the conflict. Atheists are supposed to be drawn into the conflict. Getting back to Pike's letter, I'll finish that in a second. But we shouldn't be drawn into the conflict. I'm not trying to foment further conflict or draw folks in, but I am trying to shed light on the provocative irony that this worst human rights violator on the planet, beyond all others combined, according to the UN Human Rights Council, is one of our greatest ally in the region, that we give more foreign aid to them than any other country on earth. Why aren't they being sanctioned to death until they fall in line? And that we have been mind-controlled to the point that we have law enforcement and military folks being trained by these people. Then there are a number of other issues. You know, when I say how do we benefit, we'll get back to that too. Because we don't. We detriment. Definitely don't benefit. Anyway. But understanding these forces are being collided together. And people are being drawn in on either side of this ideological battle. Saudi Arabia is the other offender, the other side of this evil coin. Same thing. This is a place where they behead people. That's where ISIS gets that nonsense. It's the Wahhabi Salafi doctrine. But then, you know, they pump this stuff out. They publish textbooks. You go to the Wikipedia entry for the Salafi movement, and you click on the section titled Views on Extremism, it tells you Views on Extremism, Salafi movement, Views on Extremism. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify the acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab, among many others, obviously. These are the folks the CIA recruited in Operation Cyclone. In addition, Saudi Arabia prints textbooks for schools and universities to teach Salafism, as well as recruit international students from Egypt, Bangladesh, India, Indonesia, Africa, and the Balkans to spread Salafism in their local communities. By the way, weren't 15 of 19 alleged hijackers Saudi? And these two, so-called Israel, so-called Saudi Arabia, are our greatest allies in the region? Problem, anyone? Be right back.
Israel, 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, free today.
Welcome back. I'm going to wrap this up and we'll go to the phones. I'll save this other stuff for hour two, you know, all of the kind of continuation that I mentioned at the beginning of the first hour. I'll save that for hour two. So the backdrop should be Pike's letter to Mazzini. And when you see this, you see it very clearly. You start to see the evidence everywhere. It's Israel and Saudi Arabia, so-called in both cases, They're being collided together. People are being drawn into this. So Pike wrote, allegedly, Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world, or political Islam, Wahhabism, Salafism, Diabandism in particular. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Do we see that shaping up? And so when the question is asked, why, how will this, you know, Roxanne in Texas yesterday said, you know, it could be good, could bring visibility to the issue in a way. I think it does precisely this. It further foments heightens the conflict of these clashes together. And for that matter, when the conflict is mentioned, I always think of the words from the Balfour Declaration. You know, home for the Jewish people, blah, blah, blah. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. And that has been honored about as much as shall not be infringed. Know what I mean? So Pike's letter. Meanwhile, continuing, you know, they're supposed to mutually destroy each other, political Zionism, political Islam. Meanwhile, the other nations once more divided on this issue. Ah, this is where we all come in now. See, so you have Saudi Arabia and Israel, and they're both sitting pretty pretty well, aren't they? They're sitting pretty. Meanwhile, look at the Gazification of the world around them. Meanwhile, the other nations once more divided on this issue will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, and spiritual and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. Have we seen that in recent decades? And we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. So part of this, you know, change, I usually talk about sort of the archetype of the P2OG doctrine, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, and the R2P doctrine, Responsibility to Protect. So you go poke the world in the nose below the CNN line, and then when there's a reaction, you televise that and then say, oh, we have a responsibility to protect against these savages that you poked in the nose, right? So continuing Pike's letter, then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, but actually it's counterfeit Christianity. What happens then? I leave it to the listener to read the rest of Pike's allegedly spurious letter. Second hour coming up. We'll go to the phones. We come back. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.